Diversification is not owning more stocks. It's owning different return streams. And multifamily offers income, tax efficiency, and real asset stability that stocks and bonds simply cannot replicate. Now, the problem is most investors are overexposed in public markets. They want hard asset diversification, but don't have the time or the expertise to buy and manage properties themselves, nor maybe the inclination, right? And they're unsure how multifamily fits into a balanced plan. So what you're going to learn today is the core reasons why multifamily improves a portfolio risk return profile, how passive syndications work, and a simple framework to size an allocation without overreaching or exposing yourself to too much risk. Now, did you know you can invest in real estate without all the headaches and stress that come from doing it yourself? All those things you have to take care of, like finding a good deal, arranging financing, managing tenants, and renovations, which can take hundreds of hours. So why not join the 200 plus investors that have already placed their trust in Ferris Capital Partners? Now, Ferris Capital Partners, we invite investors to join us investing in incredible deals in high growth, landlord friendly markets. And the best part, when you invest with us, we do all the work and you sit back and collect your monthly cash distributions and participate in all the upside when we sell. If you'd like to learn more, go to fulloutinvesting.com. We have a sample deal deck. You can book a time to talk with us to learn more. Now, getting into what we're going to talk about today, right? So why is multifamily one of the most powerful diversifiers you can add to your portfolio, right? So there's really five pillars that we're going to discuss. So cash flow when you plan ahead, right? So at Ferris Capital Partners, we like to buy existing buildings that are already performing well. Now, when I say that, we candidly like to see maybe some mismanagement, or maybe the units are tired, dated, or the amenities could use a refresh. Some of the deals we've closed have had five-star reviews on Google, and it's still a great deal, right? But when we see like three and a half stars, we kind of like that a little bit too, because it means that it's simply in the service that they're offering their residents that is a detractor, right? So we can come in and fix that with some of the things we offer, like our three resident guarantees. You could book a time if you'd like to learn more about that. The way we come in with our 28-day full out transformation and immediately add value through exterior improvements, updating the amenities, and just offering more services and benefits to our residents. But the bottom line is that because we buy these buildings that exist and are already performing well, they're already cash flowing. So one of our three golden rules, we only buy deals, number one, that cash flow on day one. And then as we execute our business plan, right, we increase the NOI. So over a five-year hold period, those cash distributions will increase as our NOI increases. And then when we exit the deal, you get favorable unit economics. That 8% preferred return goes straight to our investors. And then it's a 70-30 split after that, where the investors get 70% of the upside. So our alignment in terms of goals is absolutely where it needs to be. We only win when our investors win big. So just going back, that cash flow, right? So you're going to get monthly cash flow distributions that are tied to rent, not market sentiment, not headlines, right? It can be a useful replacement of income, right? So maybe you're getting closer to retirement and you're thinking about maybe taking your foot off the gas pedal a little bit, slowing down with work a little bit. So by investing in these deals, you can produce some passive income that is treated as a return of capital during the investment. So you're not subjected to any capital gains. When we exit, there is a shore up, to be clear, but that cash flow is coming in on a monthly basis. A lot of our investors aren't quite there yet, but they just like the cash flow. It's something that shows up in their mailbox on a monthly basis. Not literally, we do direct deposits, but it's just that idea of you getting a little money back of your investment as we go along. And so a lot of our investors just absolutely love that. Now, this is the big one. So number two, lower correlation to public markets, right? So here's a great example. A couple of, it was about, gosh, maybe 6-9 months ago when Trump first started announcing these tariffs. It was sort of like after National Tariff Day. And a large investor who has a huge following on Twitter posted a tweet, I guess an X or whatever you call it now, and basically said that due to these tariffs, the Hertz rental car fleet is now worth like, what, $2 billion, whatever the number was, can't remember exactly. And due to that tweet, the stock value went up almost 100% the next day. But what the tweet failed to mention is that the value of those assets goes down every time they rent that car, right? Because it's on the road, it's accumulating miles. And at some point, Hertz is going to have to buy some new you know, inventory, right? And if the tariffs, which have been moderated since that day was first announced, means that they're going to be spending a lot more for those new cars. So I share that story because it's such a good example of how one tweet can cause so much volatility in a stock. In this case, it went up. Of course, it went back down the next day. I imagine there were a lot of day traders that got really excited, thought they'd catch that wave, that lost a lot of money, right? So I'm not saying not to invest in stocks. I have a lot of my income, or a lot of my savings, I should say, in the public markets. But understanding and knowing that more and more as these stocks trade in index funds, the value of an individual stock is not really tied to the fundamentals of that company in a way that it used to be. There's sort of a like a split that's occurring. And if you actually look at things like the S&P 500 and the Russell Index, a lot of the growth that you see is really tied to just a handful of companies. So I'm a big believer in investing in index fund, blue chip stocks, diversifying across a lot of different industries, get your growth, your income, your international. And I, by the way, work with a great financial planner. I let her worry about all that stuff. And that is my retirement, right? My wealth building is through investing in startups or in real estate. That's where I know I'll be building my wealth, where I'm building my retirement, in the public markets. That's just my take on it. You need to have your own take on it, but that's how I think about it. So going back to that correlation, right? When our buildings, when we take one down and we add income through driving additional rents, through rent premiums achieved by renovating a unit, or by offering more features, amenities, a better level of service, we can get a higher organic rent lift on renewals where people want to stay because they've been so well taken care of. So they'll pay 3 or 4% more in terms of rent on their renewal. And, you know, it's not like day trading, right? Or, you know, some bad piece of economic news hits and all of a sudden the stock market goes down 5%. I mean, shoot, even look at what happened a few days ago when the Fed dropped the interest rate 0.25%. Stocks actually went down a little bit, right? Because they knew it was going to happen. So stocks had already sort of, you know, priced in that, interest rate decrease. And then when it occurred, people started selling. So it just goes back to owning real assets. You have more control, but you're less exposed to the volatility that can come from headlines or somebody with a lot of followers on Twitter tweeting something out that causes a stock to go up or down in ways that don't even really make sense from any sort of economic fundamental standpoint. Now, another factor, the third pillar here, is the way rents tend to correlate with inflation. So leases reset regularly, typically on an annual basis. At Ferris Capital Partners, we don't do month-to-month or six-month leases. We do 12-month leases. So on an annual basis, we can reset that rate to a rate that makes sense within that market based on the value we're providing our residents. And so if there is an inflationary time, which we are in one, it is a great hedge against inflation. And because we have fixed rate debt, rising rents, I should say, creates wider spreads, larger spreads, right? So it's exciting. Number four, tax advantages, right? So in Canada and the US, you can depreciate the renovation, the CapEx budget we're spending. And there's other advantages in the US, like cost segregation, where we could rapidly depreciate some of the personal property owned in the building. I wish Canada had that too, but as of now, they don't. But in the US, it's very tax advantage, but in Canada, it's also tax advantage. So as we renovate and create value, we're often showing a loss, even though the property is still profitable, right? So you definitely want to get with your accountant and talk through your income, you know, situation, your tax exposure, and would adding real estate investments benefit you? And generally speaking, the advice will probably be yes, but you want to have that conversation with your tax professional and ensure that it is the right decision to make sure you're not paying more taxes than you ought to or need to. Fifth, real asset, real demand, right? So basically at the end of the day, everybody needs a home at the end of, you know, shelter, right? So that broad needs-based renter demand tends to, hold tight across cycles. So supply and operations are tangible levers that we can utilize to underwrite and improve the outcome for our investors. So where multifamily should fit into a portfolio. Like, we're not going to overcomplicate this, right? At the end of the day, what's the purpose? It's stability, it's adding some income, and it's that inflation hedge we already talked about. That's what you're really hoping to do when you're investing in a multifamily building. So many sophisticated investors target a range of about 10 to 25% of their investment capital into real assets, like apartment buildings, maybe some retail, light industrial, many asset classes you can invest in. I would just say the reason we prefer multifamily, and we have opportunities to get into other classes. I mean, there's nothing limiting us to multifamily except our own decision-making, but that decision-making is driven by the fact that, once again, housing will never go out of demand. And because of the extreme housing shortage we do have in the United States and Canada, that demand will always continue to be there. We need to focus on markets that have a lack of new supply coming on, or an amount of supply that actually helps but doesn't surpass demand, right? So that's really a range we're seeing many sophisticated investors allocate their investment dollars into, approximately 10 to 25%. I will say, I know many investors that go well beyond that, but that's what we see from a lot of sophisticated investors. So what's the sequencing? Where to get started? Well, my advice would be is start with one or two deals. You know, maybe do one deal, 6 months later, do another, and sit back and watch how they perform. You know, get your monthly updates. If they send them at Ferris Capital Partners, we send an update on the 30th of every month, guaranteed, 28th of February. And if we miss that, we owe you a nice dinner out on the town. So that is our guarantee. You're going to get that monthly communication. You're going to get that monthly distribution. So by starting small, you kind of test it out, see if it's a type of investing you appreciate, and if it's adding value to your portfolio, then you can decide to maybe go in a little bit more aggressively. So, you know, passive done right, right? So kind of this idea of syndications, which is what we do here at Ferris Capital Partners, versus doing it yourself. So in a syndication, right, you are in a limited partner role as an investor. So you supply the capital and the sponsor or the operator executes, right? They handle the acquisitions, the financing, the CapEx, the renovations, the operations, everything, right? So you are really in a passive position where you get the benefit of the value creation over the life of that investment without having to do the work. So why can LP, limited partner investing, beat that do-it-yourself version for diversification? Well, simply put, scale. You know, we have professional management, we have institutional level processes, and for our investors, no burden of being a landlord, right? You don't have to worry about that midnight call that the water heater's broken, or somebody skates in the middle of the night and just simply moves out and ghosts you. You can't ever find them again. And even if you wanted to try to collect the rent, you don't even know where to find them, right? Or worse, they stay in your building and you're in a more resident or tenant friendly state or province, and it takes you 18 months to get them out, right? Thereby just effectively ruining the entire investment for you. That loss of income just kills all your returns, right? So we always tell investors that, you know, if you're looking to do it yourself, you need to understand that over a 5-year hold period, you're probably investing over 300 hours of your time managing that deal, from finding it, you know, getting the financing arranged, even identifying if you're working with professional property management, holding that property manager accountable, dealing with turnover, marketing, rent, et cetera. It could take up to 300 hours or more. Where investing as a limited partner, maybe 5 to 10 hours on the front end, you know, reviewing the deal deck, booking in a call with the operator, asking some questions, reviewing the details with your accountant and your attorney, I should say, if need be, if you want them to look at those documents, and 10 hours you're in the deal. And now all you have to do is read those monthly updates if you choose and collect those distribution checks as they come in. And then when we exit, you get the upside, right? So I'm not saying not to buy individual rental properties, but just understand the time that comes with that and what is the cost of that time. So if you're working a full-time job, can you allocate that amount of time, or do you want to allocate that amount of time? And if the answer is no, then what I would suggest is don't just say, I'm not going to invest in real estate, invest in a syndication with a trusted operator like Ferris Capital Partners, where you can still get all the benefits without having to do the work. So how are we structuring for diversification at Ferris Capital Partners? Well, from a deal design standpoint, we only target deals that cash flow from day one, that have a strong value add upside, where we can, you know, with discipline, deploy capital into capital improvements, our CapEx budget, and improve operations, thereby driving up that net operating income and increasing the value of the building. We put risk controls in place, right? Fixed rate debt, no floating debt. And if we did any sort of floating debt, which we haven't yet, we would have cap rates in place where we would know exactly what our exposure was. But in this market, we don't see any reason. If it doesn't work with fixed rate debt, we simply don't do it. We have 6 months of principal and interest in reserves at all time, and a 10%
contingency budget on our CapEx renovation budget. So we just bake in a little bit extra for a rainy day, or if something were to happen and we had an issue with occupancy for a period of time, we have money in reserves so we can keep the deal flowing. Now, in terms of what you would experience as an investor working with us, right? Because our sort of experience is a big part of what we do. We want our investors to feel fully in the know. We want a very transparent approach. They should never have to question or wonder what's going on with their investment dollars. So our monthly distributions typically start within the first 3 to 4 months of ownership. Post-close, we update you on the 30th of each month, as I mentioned, 28th of February. We make sure your tax slips are on time. Personally, as an investor, I have some investments where I don't get them until like a couple of weeks before the tax extension deadline, which is October 15th. So every year I'm having to file an extension on my taxes just because I have some investments where, you know, for whatever reason, they can't get their act together. So knowing that pain personally, Mark having experienced himself, we make sure those tax slips are on time. And then we reach out to investors on a quarterly basis and offer for a booked in time. Many take advantage, some don't, but we just want to make sure we're in touch, talking with you and filling you in on what's happening, answering any questions you might have, and hopefully, you know, developing a relationship, right? Our goal is to have investors that work with us over many, many years, over many, many projects, right? And then the last thing is we make sure we have various share classes. So for example, we have a share class where you can just get some strong cash on cash returns, no participation in the upside, but you're in a better position in the equity stack just behind the lender. So some of our investors choose that. And then we have the equity upside where we even have share classes within that. So the more you invest, the better your unit economics are. And how that works is the company Ferris Capital Partners actually just peels a little bit of our profit off. So it doesn't impact other investors, right? So you invest $100,000, you're going to get a certain waterfall split. If you invest $250,000, $500,000, and $750,000, as you tier up, your unit economics will get better. So, you know, it's really a simple allocation playbook, right, for you as the investor listening to this. So the first thing is like to define, like, you know, what is the job of multifamily in my plan? Like, am I looking for income? Am I looking for an inflation head? Am I looking for equity growth? In my experience, when I'm talking to investors, they're kind of looking for all three, right? So our deals do solve for that. Make sure that you pick the right share class that meets your goals. So if you are more income focused, then you'd want that class A with a strong cash on cash return. If you're looking at total return, then you'd want to look at one of the equity based share classes and maybe contemplate a higher investment just to get even better splits. You know, you want to make sure that you are personally tracking the right KPIs. So whether you're investing with us or investing with somebody else, as you read those monthly updates, assuming the operator you invest with, once again, you know, you'll get it at Ferris Capital, but some maybe do it on a quarterly basis. Looking at occupancy, lease trade outs, NOI growth, debt coverage service ratio. In other words, lenders want to see that you're creating revenue more than their mortgage payment, typically 1.25%. And then the progress on the business plan. Are renovations happening on time? Are the improvements that were promised to you in the business plan, have they occurred or are they scheduled to occur? And then, you know, rebalance annually. On an annual basis, sit down with your financial planner or your accountant or a trusted advisor and look at what's happening in the public markets and make a decision. Should I allocate more of my investment this year into real assets or should I focus more on public markets? I do think we're heading towards some form of a light recession in the next 12 months or so. I'm not an economist. It's just a feeling. I can feel it a little bit in consumer sentiment. It's anecdotal, right? But you go to restaurants, you know, there's a couple of vacations I went on recently and things just seemed a little bit quieter. I'm reading data, right? Las Vegas, tourism's down 30%+, many vacation markets. So watching those signals, it's clear we will see a bit of an economic slowdown. So this might be a great time for you to think about if you've gotten some great returns, you know, maybe on a few key companies and it's past that 52-week high or whatever, and you're thinking about exiting some of those investments, maybe allocate some of that capital to real assets to give you that inflation hedge and help reduce your exposure during a recession. So, you know, bottom line is when you're deciding to get involved in this, whether with us or another operator, right? You want to ask questions. You really want to understand the operator. So, you know, asking them very directly, like, what's the conservative case for rent growth and what's the exit cap rate, right? Are they too aggressive with their assumptions? Do they think they're going to get 7% organic rent growth in a market that at best may be able to get 2%, right? The cap rate is, you know, sort of, 4.5% when historically buildings in that market have traded at a cap rate of 5 or 5.5%. Those are big red flags. You're going to want to ask that question, right? And who's the lender? Who's the property management team? What's the plan? Then you're going to want to ask, how are the debt terms structured? Is this fixed rate debt? What are the repayment terms? Is there yield maintenance? In other words, a prepayment penalty? And has that been factored into your underwriting? Now, to be clear, a lot of the loans we get do have that yield maintenance component or some form of a prepayment penalty. We underwrite to that. So that is included in our numbers. We recognize if we sell in year 3 or 4, for example, we may have to pay some prepayment. So that's factored in. I've seen many deal decks where that is not factored in. And that could be 1% or more, depending on how the deal is structured. So it could significantly impact your returns, right? What's the day one cash flow? What are the contingencies that you have in place? What are the reserves plan? The next one would be, how and how often do you communicate performance and decisions, right? Are you updating monthly, quarterly, semi-annually? And make sure you're working with an operator that is communicating on a cadence that works for you and makes you comfortable. And then, ask just, what's the plan, right? Show me a closed loop example. What's the problem, the fix, the result? So in other words, ask them questions. If this were to happen, how would you react, right? If a hurricane were to come, if there was a major employer that left that marketplace and employment rose rapidly, what's the plan, right? And see how they respond. So bottom line here, just some key insights from the conversation. Diversification isn't about more assets. It's about different cash flow drivers and different sources of investment beyond the public markets, right? Multifamily provides that. Number two, private real estate smooths volatility and can boost after-tax returns via depreciation. So something to talk about with your accountant or financial planner. And then matching your share class and allocation to your goals, and then laddering those commitments and tracking those metrics that matter so you can make sure that you've made a right decision. Now, if you've enjoyed this content and you'd like to learn more, go to fulloutinvesting.com. We have a sample deal deck on there. You can book a time to talk with us to learn more about our investment strategy. And frankly, we'd love the opportunity to learn more about you, what your problems are, what your challenges are, what your pain points are, and how maybe we can help. And we're not for everybody, right? And we'll be happy to tell you we don't think it's the right fit for you. So if you've liked this content, please like and subscribe and share with another high net worth individual that you think would could benefit from it. We love and believe in you. Keep dreaming and investing big.